everybody, and welcome back to yet another episode of Gameable Audio. I am your host, Kristoffer Schenström, and this is episode 18. I knew already from the start that I wouldn't be able to have all the time in order to prepare a normal episode in the same sense that I usually prepare them. So today I just went with an easier kind of topic that I didn't need to go into as much research as I usually do. I'm talking about remixes. It's one of my most favorite kind of genre within video game music. I really adore and love remixes. And of course, today I've handpicked four different tracks and... of course, by four different people. But the most interesting thing was, when I was thinking about remix, I haven't listened to any new remixes, in a sense, in a while. There's still a lot of remixes that I kind of go back to that we haven't been listening to in this podcast. So there's still a lot of different tracks that I want to kind of cover. But I wanted to have a twist for once, instead of just talking about the old tracks that I loved and adored basically growing up, or that I'm listening to today that I've found. No, I actually went over to this community, the OC Remix, the Overclocked Remix community, where we have a lot of different remix tracks from video game music. Amazing community. I highly recommend everybody to check it out. It's such a big community and so many songs on there. I know I've already played multiple remixes in my time while having this podcast. But specifically what I wanted to go through and do this time was actually to look on the latest releases. So all the tracks that we are going to listen to are releases that have been released recently to some extent, at least this year. So starting out this, of course, we're gonna go 3, 2, 1 and let's go. We're going with the F-Zero Project Blue OC Remix by Overchilled. There we have it, the first track of this week. It was F-Zero Project Blue, an OC remix by Overchilled. So, looking into Overchilled, his name is Dean Contos, and he is a Canadian. He works currently actually as an audio artist, and specifically today on EA Games with the game Dragon Age Dreadwolf. And this was also kind of a surprise for me, going through people... making the remixes. Usually we're just thinking about people being like the normal daily average yo, you know? Or somebody who has like a really kind of a, let's say, a passion for music, been working a lot, but really haven't gotten their name out for some reason, or etc. And you can usually find these guys just popping up, and I just love this. But sometimes you also see these people working professionally already in music, but still continue to work on remixes on the side. So it is super interesting. So looking at this track here, specifically for the original here, the song was originally composed by the Japanese Naoto Ishida, and the original track for or the track name for this song was named Big Blue. So Project Blue, Big Blue. There are references here still going on to the original track. And the album was also for this game co-composed together with the Japanese Yumiko Kanki. And the game was developed by Nintendo and was initially released for the Super Nintendo back in 1990s. And the game was also released on the arcade a year after. And after that, later had releases on the digital virtual console as a title for Wii, Wii U, 3DS, and also in the end, the Switch. So F-Zero is all released on just Nintendo console, so it's a console-exclusive title. And for people who have been paying attention as well, they did release this F-Zero 99, which seems to be like a massive multiplayer game where you can basically play F-Zero with a lot of other people. I've seen some information about this. I have not played this myself since I do not own a Switch. And I guess, from what I understood, it was a Switch title. But it is still fun to see, and it was so much fun to see this kind of release while I was preparing for this episode as well. So it's just amazing to listen and see, in my opinion. But then going back to look at Dean here. So he started out professionally as a sound designer back in 2015. And his first remix that he did was actually released in the same year. And this was for Sonic the Hedgehog 2. And it was a remix of the track The Chemical Plant. So in the same year that he started out professionally working was the same year that he did release his first video game music remix, at least what I can see officially. There can be some like really old sites where he may have something of his older work. I'm a little bit unsure, but starting on OC Remix, that's where he started out with releasing remixes. But considering his professional life here, Dean has worked on games such as Dungeon Hunter 5, Gangstar New Orleans, Maneater, Baldur's Gate 3, Gotham Knights, and have worked on the game Dead Space that recently got the remake. So it's kind of fun to see how he worked on such a big titles. I mean, looking into the first two games, the Dungeon Hunter 5 and the Gangstar New Orleans, these are created by the company Gameloft, and is, of course, on mobile. So still having a lot of reach just for making those kind of games, getting his audio out there, continuing to work with different demo reels and so on. Getting his hands on and working with Baldur's Gate 3 is also kind of a nice little platform, especially now that everybody is talking about Baldur's Gate 3 and especially about the different characters and so on. I haven't heard a lot of people talk about the different the music within this game, but that is kind of what I'm always pointing out on. People sure love the character builds, people love the storytelling, people love the adventure. But we usually tend to forget the music that kind of brings all of this together. You wouldn't feel as strong to these characters or to these adventures unless the music is there to accompany it, to bring forth the audio which will give you the emotions that you're feeling, etc. Text can, of course, do this, but I'm just saying that considering the music, it adds the extra kind of flavor to it. And that's what I like about this. This is why I created this podcast, to talk a little bit more about this. Of course, I don't always talk about it, because if I did talk about it all the time within each and every episode, it will become kind of dull. So considering the game here instead, since we're kind of done here with Dean, still amazing work and so on. But considering the game here, F-Zero, is a racing game, sci-fi. I haven't played too much of this. I think I've played this game like once or twice, in all honesty. I know a lot of people have high regards for this game. I myself loved the other more chaotic games. I didn't like pure racing to that extent. Of course, there were still racing games that I really adored. For example, Exhaust Heat that we've been talking about in previous episodes. But F-Zero for me, since I had a little bit hard time working with sci-fi kind of objects, and in F-Zero we have these kind of space crafts that you're floating around on. I don't know if it's magnetic or what it could be, but for me, when looking at it, it felt kind of bland for me, in all honesty. I know a lot of people, as I said, love and adore this game. I myself, the small times I've been playing it, didn't feel the exact same kind of vibe to it. So, it is what it is. Of course, people can love it. I don't hate it. I'm just saying I'm not super fond of it. I never really got hooked on it. But the music for this game, it's absolutely amazing. This is why we can see so many people making remixes of, for example, The Big Blue. It's just super popular track for people. No, but I really adore this. The remix was amazing. I really liked the kind of touches he made, the changes in pacing that he kind of did for this, especially in the middle part. Loved and adore those. So with that said, let's go into something that is a little bit more on the take back. So we started out hot, we just flew out, and now I'm just taking it back a little bit. We're going to the Dark Waters. This is also an OZ remix, but this is from the game The Legend of Zelda: The Minish Cap, and the track was made by Gaspode. Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap, and this was the track Dark Waters, an OC remix made by Gaspode. And Gaspode is more known for, but his real name is Peter Keller, and he is a German, and considering his background, this is actually really interesting, and this is especially interesting for me, as this this dude is actually a demo scene legend who started out releasing music back in 1991 and has been releasing track music for the Amiga. And he started out by using the name Deski, but have also released music under the names such as Xenox and Fusion. But even during this fusion period, he kind of was transcending over to utilizing the name Gaspo that is he is utilizing today. And this was back in the year of 2010. The original track name for this track is The Temple of Droplets. And for me, listening to this track was a little bit of a, I would say, kind of a mindfuck. I don't know about you guys, but In the first kind of intro of this track, when you just have the piano going on, all I can hear is the ambience song from Donkey Kong Country. I don't know about you guys, if you have the same kind of vibe of recognizing the piano like I did in that sense. But I really adore this song. This was, of course, a little bit more on the lower low keys here. I would say it's kind of more of a feeling, just saying feeling is wrong, but it has this serene kind of vibe to it. It is, I would say, almost kind of, oh, what is the word? Celestial. That's the word I kind of looking for. It feels very out of this world with the simplisticness of this remix. I don't exactly remember how the Temple of the Droplets kind of sounded like. I have played Minish Cap. I did not complete it, but I'm pretty sure I did play the Temple of the Droplets, or the Water Temple. But I really adore this song, and it was a really well-composed kind of track. Loved how he used the simplistic, or the simpleness, to kind of convey a greater feeling. Really adored it. But looking at the original composer for the track, usually we were thinking, oh, it's Nintendo. It is Zelda. Of course it's going to be this or that. No, when it comes to the handheld consoles, it is not any of the bigger names working with either the Zelda titles or the Mario titles, just because it is the same with the Koji Kondo. No, Koji Kondo has only been supervising when it comes to handheld games. They usually take in other composers for these. And this is the case here as well, as we have the Japanese Mitsuhiko Takano. And the game, it was developed by Nintendo for the Game Boy Advance back in 2004. The game was also released digitally in the stores on the 3DS and later on the Wii U. I'm pretty sure both of those stores are closed, the eShops. So it is not possible for people to get this on these consoles anymore. That's kind of how it goes with all the older, and it costs money to keep up servers, you know? But looking back here on Gaspode here, he is still active as a demo scener, which is amazing for me to read and research about. I'm just super stoked to listen in more on his work, to be honest. But he is working with both music, he works with the visuals, and he also does the code. And his latest released one is called Focused, and was released on this famous demo party called Evoke. This demo party, is an annual party that goes on each and every year. Of course, with the exception for when COVID was having its own kind of vibe and time. But the latest one was taking place on the 28th to the 30th of July back in, and this was in Cologne, Germany, not back in, but this was Cologne, Germany. One step at a time, Chris. One step at a time. Don't. My head is just everywhere. I'm so sorry for this, folks. And looking at the Vogue, it is a specifically organized demo party, which focuses on jamming together with people coding together and also competing. But on this event, which I didn't know about, for me, Evoke has always been just this big demo party where groups just get together, they make their own thing, and they compete to each other during these demo categories that you can put your music and work into. But they also have seminars surrounding different topics, which was amazing to read as well. However, looking through this seminar and things, it was just too kind of technical for me, so I didn't really understand. Just reading the topics on these, I had no freaking clue what they were going on at. Have no clue. But people make music in trackers and so on. They code really amazing work, etc. So people who are interested in more nerdy things, where it will come kind of into... they have competitions where they have as little space as possible to make as technical things as possible, which is just insane to see. When you see something that has like a 4K kind of texture, not texture per se, but it has 4K, but it still just takes a couple of just kilobytes, it's just amazing to see, to be honest. I just love to see how well they kind of optimize everything, because in the end, it's kind of what it's all about. So, super amazing, super fun, and just finding this Gaspode, looking into his kind of OC remixes and so on, he has not released that many at all, and this is something that goes down with all the composers that we're going to talk about today, because in the beginning, I was actually just looking into trying to find people that has like one or two releases from the new recent kind of list of releases they've done. And of course, a majority of these that I've picked today have only released this specific track on OC Remix. But some of these have more remixes as well, but not released on OC Remix. And this is what I found when I was researching and looking into these guys, what they were doing back in the day and what they're kind of doing now. It's always fun to go back and forth to see. And just going through Gaspode was amazing for me because, as you know, I love listening to the old modular chiptune kind of vibe to it. I just live and breathe these kind of things from time to time. And I'm starting to get into a new period of this, so I'm definitely going to listen to way more. And Gaspode will be highest up on my list for now. And I hope this interested you as well with this track that I picked from Gaspode for this episode. With that said, it is time to go into the next track of the week. And this is from the game Undertale, which I know a lot of you guys might love and adore. And we're going to listen to the track named Toriel's Pain, yet again from OC Remix. And this remix was created and composed by Charlie Adam. This track was a little bit short, a little bit sweet, but yet it is something that most of you guys will hopefully put on repeat, because damn, this was a blast. This was Undertale and Toriel's Pain, an OC remix by Charlie Adam. His name is José Carlos Pelaze Lazo. and he is a Mexican. And he's also starting out as a DJ and has been active since 2010. He is now a music producer, composer, DJ, and a songwriter. And he is being supported by big DJs such as Breathe Carolina and Blasterjacks, just to name a few. There's still a lot more that you can read up on his all his information pages and so on. And he has also toured in China during 2019 and 2010, or 2020, sorry. So many numbers, mixing them up, you know. It is what happens. All the numbers, and my eyes are going back and forth everywhere. No, but it's really interesting to see somebody starting to dip their toes into video game music, and it's actually just super fun to see that he has been working on remixes in total for a long time, especially since we're in 2023 right now, and he's been working with music in 13 years professionally, doing sets for parties as a DJ, and still composing his original work, working as the DJ, and doing singer-songwriting. So it's really nice to see this guy, and he seems to be still kind of active on his YouTube, where you can read a little bit about live sessions, you can go through his vlog a little bit. It seems like he's not doing the vlog thing anymore, but he still seems to be doing from time to time these live sessions where he plays and enjoys. But yeah, the track that we listened to was in fact his first remix within video game music, and he stated in a comment of this track over at OC Remix that he actually wants to become an electro dance music, an EDM game music artist. So it's interesting to see this, and I'm just super excited to listen more into what he can come up with. So this was his first track that he wants to promote his name within the community. And the song "Truest Pain" is based on the song titled "Heartache" in Undertale. No, when I listen to this, we have this electrical dance music on this one. And for people that have played this game and know the fact of what or when it is played, it feels kind of weird to have the contrast of something that is so kind of addicting is the word I'm looking for. Addicting to listen to. The way that it kind of transcended this track over to have something more that you want to dance to and so on, have a good time to, and knowing the fact of what this track kind of conveys in kind of what it wants to portray for you as a person when you're playing the game, what is happening, etc. So this song is kind of early on in the stages of the game, so it kind of conveys kind of fast of what you're kind of after with this. And I think the remix of this, it is still an amazing one, but it kind of has a big contrast to what the original song kind of meant. So I kind of like that touch as well, but it kind of makes me sad at the same time. But I would say it makes me sad in a good way, not in a bad way necessarily. So looking at the music here for the original composition, we have Undertale, which was composed by the American and amazing American Toby Fox. And of course, this game was also mainly developed by himself, altogether with a few other people that helped out. And this was primarily worked, and he got help with the art for the game. The game, it was released back in 2015 and was released for both PC and Mac, and have since then had releases on all major consoles, starting out from 2017 and all the way up to 2021. And this includes consoles such as the PS Vita, PS4, Nintendo Switch, and the Xbox Series. So everybody can... I think there's... If you have a console, you can play this game. If you have a mobile phone, get a PC, you know? No, I highly recommend the Undertale game. I have played this from start to finish. I did not select any of the pacifist run or the genocide run, where you can basically have either you will befriend everybody within this game that you meet and you will love and adore them, or you can just kill everybody and you will have consequences on that as well, because yeah, you're a murderer. No, but I really love the take. Undertale was such a fresh start for everything. But at the same time, I think a lot of people look at this game, they see the art, and they're like, oh, no way. But the game come with so much deepness and understanding of what is fun within mechanics. The game is, when you're playing it, it kind of looks like a JRPG, but it kind of is not. It definitely is not an RPG. It's an adventure game that has a very interesting fighting mechanic, as you still have this kind of JRPG. You select like what type of attack, if you want to use items and so on. But when it comes to the attack itself, you will control a little heart, which represents you. And the enemies will do things to you which you need to react to. So for example, you have this volcano, you can hug the volcano and become friends with it, but at the cost of it, I mean, it's a volcano, so it will hurt you. But over time, this volcano will understand that, oh, you don't mean it harm or anything. But yeah, on that take, you will still take damage and so on. Or you can just freaking go wild and just slap the shit out of it and, well, have that done. But that will also have its consequences. And I just love how deep this game was when it looked so kind of shallow on the first kind of glimpse of this game. Amazing music, amazing story. It is definitely one of those games that I recommend a lot of people to play, even if it looks like shit, to be honest. I'm not a fan of the art style. I'm more than open to say that it does not look good. But that's not where the point of greatness comes from. That's what I'm kind of pointing out here as well. Even though it may look really bad as an art, I think if we did it like a high-tech evaluation and having it looking really freaking good, I think we will still lose a lot of the part that it's trying to convey, either through the gameplay with the battle system, or it will kind of convey or portray away from the simplisticness that it kind of is. It still has a lot of depth to it, but the depth comes through the points where you basically come to a philosophical part of the game. What does X mean? And of course, X is the kind of situation that you will be put through. You will be put through different situations and hard choices. And it all comes out in the end. I would say kind of like Undertale is some sort of personality test, to some extent, of course. It's just my kind of reading of the game as well. But it is still a really good game. Fun and just amazing. Highly recommend. Check it out. Another game that I haven't played that much that we're going to talk about and will be the last song of the week. I know a lot of people has loved and adored this game. I, for one, does not like the console, and you know that good well. This is from N64. And this is the game Mischief Maker. The Floor is Lava OSU Remix. And yeah, what can I say? Shake, shake. Let's bring it on. Bigger on. We'll be right back. Last track of the week. This was the Mischief Makers, The Floor Is Love, an Oza remix made by Bigarone. And this was, I really adore this kind of industrial kind of vibe that it chose to, that it chose to go with for this track. Really adored it, loved it. So Bigarone, also known as Logan Tucker or Tuck, he's an American, and well, looking at Bigarone, it looks quite new when we're looking at the OC remix community. But he has actually done VGM remixes, and it may look as early as 2007, starting out with the Koopa's theme from Super Mario 64. So thinking initially that this is a new remix, I was like utterly surprised to find so much work done previously. However, he has also done some original content as well, not just VGM remixes. So considering Bigarone, I highly recommend you guys to check out his Bandcamp and listen in on all the different tracks that he has done. Of course, you are able to look into Spotify as well, as he released a lot of his tracks there. I'm a little bit unsure if he released all of it because I didn't look that thorough. But Bigarone is definitely somebody I would like to go in and look through a little bit more, because I really adored this mix. It was special, and I think it was very neatly done. So highly recommend that one. Also considering this track is quite long as well. This is due to the fact that this is actually made from the original songs from the game, which is named the opening title and Volcanic Hot Hot Inside the Volcano, the second captured background music. And the original OST here was composed by the Japanese Norino Hanzawa. And the game was developed by the Japanese studio Treasure and released exclusively for the Nintendo 64 back in 1997. The game never had any form of digital releases or any ports, so this is an exclusive N64 title. I myself have played this track, but the game. Sorry for that little flubber rubber. No, but I've definitely played this game. Highly recommended from my dear old friend from Videospelsklubben, Lenny. He had this game, and they were like always talking about Mischief Maker, and always made this check. They were doing the silly movements as well. And I for one have at this point in time, I think this was like 5-6 years ago or something like that. But I never heard of this game. First of all, I rarely played on the N64. In my opinion, it was a horrible console. I did not like the graphics. I did not like all the 3D platforming that they added to it, etc. So I had a really hard time playing with a controller, playing first person and so on with GoldenEye. There were really low amount of games that I really would like to play on this console. I know a lot of people have GoldenEye and Zelda, Ocarina of Time, and Majora's Mask high up on their like must play, but nope, played them, did not like any of them, to be honest. Much more for the 2D platforming and so on when it comes to platformers, and for racing games and shooters, I'd much rather play on any PC whatsoever. So many better. More control with a keyboard and mouse, just saying. But that's me, of course. This is all depending on what you had at home, etc. I was so much more convenient and had the option to play on PC early on, so I really got well versed with using keyboard and mouse. So even today, playing any form of shooters or even third person at some points and sometimes, I find it really hard with a controller. So for me, I definitely would prefer to play with keyboard and mouse when it comes to these. But if it is ever any form of 2D action in some sense, I'm more than welcome to use the controller, and I love and adore that. But yeah, considering the Mischief Makers is, I did not know of it, and I tried it out, and it is very weird. It's one of those platforming kind of chaotic games. In my opinion, it looks like shit as well, but that's what I think about every game on the N64. So this is not something unique for this game. It's not worse in any sense. I mean, considering from what they have, it's still a 2D game, but they have this kind of 3D characters and so on, so it kind of comes with the depths such as a 2.5D type of game. But you had 3D characters, and you had like backgrounds, as I remember, a little bit more 2D, like billboardish, Everything was in 3D as I remember it. But anyway, considering this, you were jumping high. Felt a little bit like the Tombi type of games. You could bounce around and throw enemies, shake them, and yeah. You listen to this chick a lot in this game, because you're shaking around these enemies like, I don't know, they're balls of the magic eight balls. Like, you want to have a new tips, like, hey, am I going to get married, get lost off, shit, you know, that kind of vibe. But considering the music, I think I still have listened to a couple of the soundtracks for this one, and I kind of like them. They're kind of fresh to some extent, but while I was playing this game, I was just so utterly kind of conveyed that I don't want to play this, that I didn't really think a lot about the music. Of course, I didn't play that many levels either, so I couldn't have listened to a lot of them. But listening to this remix, The Floor is Lava, here, I just felt like, hey, I should definitely get into and listen more to the soundtrack of this game. I think that would be really good. I think I will enjoy it a lot as well. So that's some homework for me, I guess. So thank you so much, Biggeron, for making this remix. It was an amazing. I really adore how you kind of conveyed a more industrial part into the music as well, but still kept a really good vibe of the track itself. As we can listen to the background right now, it has more of the fanfare kind of, yeah, you go! It's really nice. So it's just the industrial part is mostly in the beginning of the song, but I still kind of like how he conveyed and turned this track together into each other, and it fits so well, in my opinion. Loved and adored it. So, yeah, those were the four tracks of the week. The F-Zero, Legend of Zelda the Minish Cap, Undertale, and Mischief Makers. Really adored all these tracks this week. I hope you guys did as well. And for people that don't know, Overclocked Remixes is a homepage for remixes from video game music. It is all free. So all the tracks that we listened to today, you are free to go in to the OZ Remix homepage and download all this music and listen to them on your PC, download them to your phone or whatever. These are free for you, for everybody to enjoy, so no need to purchase or anything. But if you did like any of the composers that we listened to today, most of these had some sort of Bandcamp and a store that you can either listen and support these composers. So highly recommend everybody to check the OZ Remix out. I cannot recommend it enough to people. If you like remixes and you like video game music, that's the way to go. Like, the first spot you need to be at. Have it as your starting homepage or something like that. That's kind of how important it is. Still, considering how many music tracks that is getting released on the OZ Remix, I think it has come to a little bit of a standstill, as we're not even getting one or two remixes every month. So considering the tracks that we've been listening to today, I would say this is a 5-month period that I've collected these from. But of course, as I was initially trying to pick new composers that we haven't really seen or heard of previously to this, it was just a really nice, refreshing kind of take to know that, hey, they've been active, most of these guys, for a longer period of time. Maybe not just in VGM, but even if they had, that's just purely amazing and super fun to see. So I'm just super excited for this. All these four, I'm going to definitely keep an eye on these guys moving onward. But with that said, it is time to close up this week's episode. So other episodes of Gameable Audio, you can find those on our homepage, videospelsklubben.se, Spotify, or in your closest podcast app. Feel free to follow and comment on any of our social medias, either on Facebook or on Instagram. Just search for Gameable Audio and you will find it. It is also very nice if you would recommend this. If you like the episodes, feel free to share this with a friend or family member, or share it with a colleague at work, etc. It's always nice to get more people into the community to talk a little bit more about the music, get an understanding, and actually get to know these composers a little bit, as we are having composers guesting some of these episodes as well. I'm trying to get more and more into, so of course we will be having more composers to talk about their work and their kind of processes when they make music in the future. You can also, if you choose so, support this podcast financially for future content and quality upgrades, but also in the end, when I don't need any more money for buying in the music or upgrading the gear that I'm recording recording on. Then this support will go basically to future composers. So think about becoming a Patreon member. And the current awesome backers that we have today is Daniel Lundmark, Lars Schenström, Titti Schenström, Kevin Wikström, and Mike Björkholm. Thank you so much for being part and supporting my cause with this podcast. Links where you can either buy or support the composers behind the remixes that we listen to today, you'll find those in our main post over at videospelsklubben.sc. And for the next episode, I was thinking a little bit, it's like, hey, what am I going to do? I was actually going back a little bit to when this podcast was in Swedish and was looking through some of the themes that I had for those episodes, and I was like, damn, I want to return to platformers. So in the next episode, we're going to talk a little bit more about music within platforming games. So I'm basically going back a little bit in my age, my younger age, thinking about the other platformers, not the platformers that I already talked about. I will try to find new ones. I will also try to find some from when I grew up a little bit, how kind of the platformers kind of evolve, and what type of platformers do we have today. So if you guys have any suggestions and so on, either for a theme for future upcoming episodes, or if you have some suggestions for great platforming games, feel free to comment on our podcast in the comment section, either on any of the social medias. I would just love to discuss a little bit more. And if you want to, you can also utilize the Discord for videospelsklubben.se to talk with me a little bit more privately or openly in the channels, of course. No, but we're going to talk about platformers, and I'm so excited for this next episode. I'm already like, yeah, okay, which games am I going to talk about? And as always, as I tend to kind of forget, of course we're going to give credits to the guy who helped me out with the jingle and the background music for this podcast. Is none other than Thor Myrdal. Thank you so much for supporting and helping out with creating this kind of soundscape that we have an identity for the podcast. With that said, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode, and I'll be looking forward to comment sections and talk a little bit more about platformers in the next episode. So with that said, do take care, and see you all guys next time!